Hello, I'm Ali, and thank you for joining the People Puzzles podcast. Every episode, we share stories, examples, and our learnings to help you unravel the people puzzles in your business. I started People Puzzles over a decade ago because I really believe that when you have the right people doing the right stuff, your business can really thrive. And most business leaders really appreciate having a trusted people expert to help them get it right. I've worked with over 100 small and mid-sized businesses, and at People Puzzles we have over 80 portfolio people directors helping businesses to thrive across the UK. We're going to spend the next 20 minutes or so talking about reward, so pay, benefits, and all the things that are associated with that. And hopefully we're going to provide some useful tips on how to set your team up to succeed. So I wonder, are you happy that you are motivating people to do their absolute best work for you with how you pay and reward them? And is that even possible? This week, I've got Conal Scholes with me, Portfolio People Director with People Puzzles. So, Conal, thanks for joining me. It's great to have you with us.
Hi, Ali. Thanks very much for inviting me along.
Brilliant. Can you kick off and tell us a little bit about yourself? What's your background? How have you ended up doing a lot of work around reward?
Well, having graduated, I got into HR via general management, and I'd gone through a process of being, you know, dealing with HR functions or dealing with managers who didn't know a lot about reward. I was then quite lucky that I was in some fairly large businesses who used some very large pay advisory businesses who made it very, very complicated and quite frankly left me as an HR professional explaining things to senior leaders that they didn't really want to know. They just wanted simple, quick answers. So I guess over about the last 25 years, I've bumped into most scenarios, and I've been both sides of the fence on it. And I've come to a way of, you know, demystifying reward and trying to make it practical.
So can you separate it from the wider people function, or is it integrated and part of that?
Well, I think it's part of the function, but it's a bit that, in all honesty, quite a few HR professionals don't really want to do. So we within People Puzzles quite often will invite somebody like myself into a client to help them with a particular reward piece. There are some HR people who really enjoy it and actually can see how it links into the business and into the wider HR agenda. So I quite often will talk about talent management strategies, retaining talent and succession planning. And then I'll be talking to leaders and owners in businesses about actually how we make the reward work for them. And sometimes you get a little bit of, oh, no, we're fine about that. We're paying people okay. But they say, well, actually, what are you doing with the money? Because really about a third to about half of all costs within businesses, especially when they're growing, around the people bit. And I think you need to get really good advice. I mean, I sometimes say to business owners, I bet you spend quite a bit of money getting really good tax advice when you're going to make big decisions. So why aren't you going to get the same level of advice from good HR people about making really good reward decisions? And you kind of see them kind of looking at you thinking, yeah, he's probably right, but what does that mean? And I think that's when People Puzzles comes in with practical, low cost, low maintenance solutions that will actually help them understand how they can make their reward strategies really drive value in the business.
Yeah, I have to say, when I had my hands dirty and I was sort of working right in the HR people function, I didn't really like dealing with reward. I think it was, as you say, a bit opaque, and often it wasn't easy to know, is the money that I'm giving to these people or those people actually getting the behaviours I want? And then as a business owner, you know, maybe once a year we look at the retail price index, and then we have individual conversations with people about what they're being paid and whether they're being promoted or not. And actually, oh, and then you've got the remuneration committee that oversees the senior people. And actually, you know, in my experience, business leaders spend most of their time interested in their own pay and reward and much less in that of everybody else who they sort of feel, oh, that should really take care of itself.
Absolutely. And I think you need somebody with you to help you through that journey, because I'll often ask people, I mean, you know, the benefits you've got, do they actually benefit the people that you're actually employing? And they'll kind of go, oh, well, yes, they all want, you know, private medical insurance. I go, do they really? Oh, well, how much do you spend on PHI each year? Oh, I don't know, about £42,000. Oh, and it's going up. And the last time the broker came in, he wanted, you know, 20% increase because, you know, Jimmy in accounts had had a heart bypass. And you're going, well, actually, you do realise that half the people you're giving that benefit to don't want it. Or the only reason they want it is because somebody on their same pay level gets it. So I think there are ways of looking at the benefits. So a client I've just had is we've gone in and done a complete review of all of their base pay, their flexible benefits, their reward incentives. And actually, I think they're going to spend less this year on their total cost of reward, but they'll know why they're getting an output from it. So they're not just throwing money at it because it was done previously or it's been transferred in from another business, you know, or somebody, an owner of a business got meeting somebody and got a referral and, you know, implemented something that actually they didn't really want, or, you know, two people in a business of 50 wanted it. And you go, well, why don't you let them have the flexibility to pick the rewards they want? I think the other one is on base pay. It can be really emotive and you can't make your own decisions. You actually need somebody who's completely objective in the room. So I've got four clients at the moment. I'm doing reward pieces with them. I literally am in the room. I'm the only person who can honestly say I'm being completely objective about it.
Yeah, there's so much tied up in your self-esteem as a person with how you get paid and when you get your pay reviews and what they're like and the conversation that goes around with them. And as you say, also people get wedded to benefits, even if they never use them, don't like them. I remember doing a review with a company. We were buying shopping vouchers and we worked out the scheme had cost us about 100 times more than the savings that the people had got. And of course, we binned the scheme immediately and found something better that people would actually value.
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. So one of the case studies I quite often use with people is I get them talking about what they think the benefits are. Often, you know, people puzzles already be in there. It's a client I've already done a survey piece with. I actually can start talking about the granularity of what's being said, who thinks this, etc. And then you actually do some, you know, focus groups. And in very small businesses, that usually is sitting around in the canteen or in the MD's office and having a chat with a few people. And very quickly, you get some pretty good feedback. I mean, one of the case studies we use is that people were getting lots of unlimited learning. They were given a learning management portal because somebody thought that'd be a good idea to put it in. They were given unlimited holiday, so they could take unlimited holiday. Yeah, you didn't get paid for it, so most people didn't take it because, quite frankly, yeah, holidays aren't that fun if you come home and find that your house has been repossessed and you didn't have any money to spend. And they were doing lots of stuff on Amazon. They were giving people free books to read and listen to. And actually, they went out and they listened to the staff and they found out what the staff really wanted is they wanted a contribution each month, about £20-30 towards well-being. Some of them put it toward a gym membership. Some of them put it towards going and joining a reading club. They wanted a bit of because where they were located, commuting costs were high. And so there was a contribution put into commuting costs. And the final bit was, because most of them were working from home, is they were just looking for a contribution to the Wi-Fi. They weren't saying, oh, the old days, oh, you got to pay for my telephone at home and my fax machine. They were just saying, look, listen, would you help? I mean, I get a lot of free stuff on my phone, but if you gave me £10 a month towards the Wi-Fi at home, it'd just make a bit of a difference. So the feedback they got back was that the benefits they had in place were pointless, as they didn't actually benefit the employees. And when they gave the employees the opportunity to put in place the benefits they wanted, they were a lot happier. On another one, there was, I think it was last year or so, Virgin Atlantic, they axed their gendered uniforms. So they basically said is that you want to come and join our cabin crew, you can have gender neutral uniforms, etc. And their number of job applications went through the roof. Because all the people who've been working for the other airlines, etc., who've been having to put up with a very strict uniform policy, actually thought, actually, I can go over there. I can wear trousers if I want. I can wear a skirt if I want, etc. And that actually allowed people to feel like they had a bit of skin in the game. So there is quite a bit of reward, I think, sort of senior people, business owners think that they've got to know everything. Sometimes I'll go and sit down with an MD or an owner, and they'll go, oh, I've got to make a decision on the coffee machine. Do we pay? Do they get them to pay? And I go, well, that's the staff. How much are they using it? I mean, how much holidays do they want? Oh, unlimited holidays quite often is an excuse for just giving people 20 days plus 8 days bank holidays for giving them the minimum. Ask them what they want, and they'll tell you. And actually, they don't really want these days in modern businesses. They don't want people. They don't want to be gauging the managing director or the HR person on their ability to transact healthcare vouchers. Because you know what, we're not very good at it. We've got a business of 50 people. We're busy doing other things. Somebody's got to write out a voucher so you can go and get your eyes tested. It'd be better just to get somebody else to do that who's doing it for 10,000 people. So the transaction efficiency is there, the cost there, and it allows you to really concentrate on what the business is. So whatever your business visions and values are, it sure probably isn't about giving people, you know, a bus pass so they can get to work a bit cheaper.
Yeah, it's really interesting, isn't it? Because that sort of top-down idea that the person who's earning probably £100,000 or near that, who's sitting at the top, should decide how everybody in the business is rewarded, when you kind of can't remember what it's like to earn 20 grand a year or 18 grand a year or 40 grand a year. You don't know how those people live. You don't know what's important to them. And you're sort of playing a guessing game, unless you do that astonishing idea of asking people what they might want and what they might value. I mean, it does make a lot of sense when you put it like that.
Yeah. And people are always talking about reward. I mean, you go into some businesses where it's a little bit, oh, you're not allowed to talk about pay. I mean, I've been into businesses, I'm sure you've seen them, where there's something written into the company handbook that it's against company policy to talk about pay and reward. So, you know, the first thing they do on a Friday when they go down the pub is they go, hey, Eric, what do you earn? How much overtime did you get? Yeah. Did you get a bonus last month? Yeah, they're doing it. All the pay portals, they're all there. You can check it in. Glassdoor will give you feedback. LinkedIn is a great place to find out what everyone's doing. The data's there. So I often talk about transparency. Let's be really transparent about roughly what we're paying. Let's put what we were expecting to pay people in job adverts, etc. If nothing else, it stops you killing a poor person who's screening 1,000 applicants of people who thought the job was a 50 grand a year job, and it turns out to be a 20 grand a year job. Yeah, because everyone likes a nice flashy job title, and it just makes people think, oh, that's going to pay really well, etc. So I think really the first piece is try and get someone in to work out what you're trying to do. So we would talk about having a reward strategy, nothing flash, just what you're trying to do, what your position's going to be, how you're going to pay people, even stuff about are we going to pay people weekly, are we going to pay people monthly. And I've been into businesses, and there's still certain parts of the UK where you can go and stand in the Witherspoons on the high street and people will be saying, oh, I get weekly paid. That means I pay less tax than you because you're monthly paid. And you're like, doesn't work like that. But if that's what people believe, if they want to be weekly paid, it costs more for the employer to do it. It's a lot more hassle, etc. But there might be a reason for doing it. Likewise, if people are going to be moved over to monthly pay, or you're going to go for a different pay cycle, you're paying people in different countries because as businesses grow, they may put footprint in different parts of the world. You need to be talking to experts around it. You need to be paying people correctly. So you might be an employer of record, but you need to, you know, to understand what they're doing. And you may only have one or two people, and you might be really good at what you pay. I don't know. What you pay call center people in the Midlands, and then you're opening a business up in Tampa. How on earth are you going to know what the reward is there? And we can get into that. We can do that at a very cost beneficial level. We can network it through. But at the end of the day, I say to business owners is the better the quality of data, the better the decision making. So I can go on the internet as well as everyone else can to come up with a glorified guess, or we can put some proper thought to it, put a few days into it, do some analysis, and then have a proper conversation about it. And quite often when you're having those proper conversations, it means that the business owner or the people who are in charge of the business, they can step back from that. I've got to make a decision. And if I don't give Jimmy an extra bit of money, and if I don't give Johnny this and Alice doesn't get that, then they're going to blame me. And I can come in and say, well, no, this is what your bands would look like. This is where you could pay. This is what the types of benefits would look like. And then we can make some decisions. Probably then go and talk to a group of people about what they're really wanting, and explain to them what we've got. Because I think if businesses understand that, you say, we've only got a 5% pot and we're going to cut it up this way. I think a trend at the moment is to make people who are at the lower level of earnings that we can get as much money into their pockets as possible. Because actually, if somebody's on £100,000 a year and I give them a 5% increase, that's quite a big chunk of money. If I take that 5% and say, listen, this year I'm only going to give you 2%, but I'm going to give you an opportunity to benefit more because you're going to deliver certain parts of the strategic plan, but actually the people who are at the front line are actually working hard at the business, I'm going to give them 10, 12%. I've been doing models with that of businesses between 30 and 50 and to 200 people, where we've actually done the pay bill and it's been less than we budgeted, and all the people at the lower levels were getting really good quality increases, and the senior people understood why they were getting a very small or no increase, but we were moving their payment onto variable pay, or we were going to give them benefits they wanted by saying to them, right, rather than me giving you a nominal increase of 2%, I'm going to give you nothing, but I'm going to actually give you access to being able to get really good healthcare, but you're going to have to pay for it. So I'm not going to get you a Bupa policy, you're going to get it, but I'm going to give you the money to fund it, etc. And then all sorts of stuff you can do around pensions. I mean, most of the stuff I'll do when I go into a business is the first question I ask is, have you got pension salary sacrifice? Because if you haven't got that in place, then you're spending more money to give people a pension and they get less benefit. But if you can go down salary sacrifice, then that's a way that you can actually all benefit, etc. And most employers give the benefit back to the employee. So they're actually earning in the long term more than they would have. And it costs you as an employer. I come to you, Ali, and say, you can spend less to give your people more, and all you need to do is a couple of hours work in order to do a salary sacrifice scheme. I mean, it's just madness. Why wouldn't you do it? But what happens is people get wrapped up in all the other things that go on when you're running a business, and it never gets to the top of the list. So we in People Puzzles, we help it get to the top of the list, and then it means it can be something you can be saying to your employees, by the way, your pension scheme is really good, it's with a really good provider, but because you're salary sacrificing, you're actually getting more benefit. And us as a company, we allowed all the benefit to flow towards you, because that's one of our vision and goal, that we want to be sharing the benefit that the business will give out.
And one of the things is, when people are feeling valued and that you care about them, that extra mile that we've talked a little bit about in other podcasts, you know, people being more willing then to stay late to finish the job, or to, you know, in a way, you've got to see this in the round, haven't you? So how does that bothering to do the salary sacrifice and a bit more going into people's pension, well, there's sort of a direct payback this week and next week in how people are acting, how people feel towards you. And actually, you know, over the last few years, we've had various moments when many companies have had to ask people to sacrifice a bit or go through a difficult period of time, or, you know, do some unpaid overtime or whatever it is. And if you're not then taking the opportunities to say thank you and give back and sort of restore your credits in that employer-employee relationship, for something that, as you've given us a couple of examples of things that have then costed less or have been valued more, and it makes a massive difference to people.
Absolutely, because a lot of these things is, you're already spending all the money. I come from a group where company cars were really important in the late 90s. I had a business that had 200 cars, and everyone was arguing about the alloy wheels and was it in the GLS or a GLX, etc. And I used to sit down with the owner of that business and say, we're really messing this up. And John would say to him, how do you mean? He says, well, I'm spending £35,000 giving this person a car and they don't like it. Why? Because they wanted a Ford Orion rather than a whatever. But actually, if you let them make the choice, you're going to spend probably a bit less. Oh, I'm only going to give you £30,000, but actually you can choose the car you want. And it goes through the roof, all that employee engagement.
Well,
the other one is there's lots of money in the businesses around apprentice levies, etc. So reward isn't just about direct reward and flexible pay and benefits. It's about career development. So you can start saying to people, what are you doing with your pension levy? How are you doing your apprenticeships pieces, etc.? You can then start sitting down with people at all levels of the business, because the government's been quite good with this now. They're actually saying there's these huge pots of money and no one's really using them. How can you access into it? You can be sitting down with people at all levels and saying, you actually want to make a bit of a career change, or you want to go to the next level. Well, we can help you with that by some career development, career growth. And part of that, we're going to fund your MBA, we're going to fund your apprentice degree, we're going to fund your level 2 MVQ, etc. And you do two things with that. A, that that gives them lifetime learning and that allows you to have a business actually when people are improving on it. The second one is for businesses that don't want to lose talent is, hey, you're getting better people, they're going to give you a better return. You have to pay them more for that. But at the same time, they're entering into a learning contract with you. And it's reasonable for you to say, if I'm going to invest this time and effort and money, because it's coming out of your NI, would you mind just saying that if you left, I'm going to hold you? There's a 2-3 year learning contract with it. So I see a lot of the IT businesses doing that because they're a bit concerned that people are going to, you know, get qualified and then there's going to be a battle to the top of everyone paying more. You say, well, actually, we will keep you in the broad band of paying you about right. But actually, if you decided to move with this qualification and all this effort and all this mentoring that we've gone, then you'd have to give us the money back. So you can protect yourself away from it, etc. So I'm not just being sort of a fluffy bunny HR person. What I'm saying is you can actually put some teeth in around this that people, if they're actually getting something, they go, well, it's quite reasonable. If I invested in the house that I'm living in and then sold it, I'd expect the money to stay with me, etc. Somebody, you know, the builder came and said, now I've fitted your kitchen, I want 50 grand because the house has increased in value. You go, that's not how it works, type of thing.
So, let me ask you just quickly before we come into the end. Can you just give us a few thoughts on variable pay? So commission, bonus. I've always been of the opinion that not every job is right to have a variable element to it, a commission or a bonus element to it. But have you got just a few sort of top tips or thoughts you can share with us around that?
Well, I think you've nailed it. It's not everyone and not every role is particularly bonusable. So don't try and go into it, etc. It's quite difficult to put a bonus scheme in for the account ledger clerk because they're going to do transactions. So I think what you can talk to them is about job size growth. You can talk to them about being part of the development of the business. So they might get some of the skin in the action to sit down. I think where you have got it is you've got your obvious piece of overtime. So are you going to be flat rate or are you going to give it a multiplier? You've got to then look at the method effect that goes around that. So some people work very long hours because they hit time and a half. And that means that they're not that productive during the first 8 hours and they get all the work done in the other four. So they get some good money out of it. And actually, as an employer, if that works for you, great. But let's be honest about it. Would it be better just to, increase the base rate to make it a flat rate so people work for, say, 10 hours? They get to go home a bit early with the same amount of output and you don't have an escalating wage cost. I think the other one is that in incentives, there are some roles which are sales related, they are target related. And I think you've got to be quite clever around that. You've got to look at some of the method effect that, I'm just one at the moment where the sales force has got new sales and renewals. And renewals are much, much easier in the space of where the client is. And actually the salespeople get the same type of commission based. So some of them are doing really well. Whereas people who are breaking the edge of the ice all the time by selling new products to new clients, they're really not getting as big commission payments. So you've got to look at the commission schemes, etc. I think the other one is, and I always say it to people, is you've got to have something around behaviors in any of these schemes. So sometimes you'll have sales commission schemes or commission schemes in businesses where there's an hour piece and lawyers, etc. So there'll be an hourly piece to a target. If they hit the target, they'll get a percentage of the action. You've got to make sure that if people aren't living up to the values of the business, so they're not decent, they're not credible, they're not living the values, then there's no payment. So I call it the golden rule or the big bell, etc. So if you break the golden rule or if the big bell doesn't toll, so you sold lots of stuff, but it was a bit hard work. I didn't live the values of the business and I wasn't very, very nice to people. Well, I'm sorry. No, I don't want sales like that. Those are quite low quality sales. People won't stay with the business. They won't want to work with that person. And the clients in the end, they'll figure it out, to be quite honest. So I think you need to get under the skin of what you're trying to do. I think you need to look at some of the tax effective schemes you can put in place as well. And I think you need to be looking over longer periods. So some of these rewards you're looking at is monthly, quarterly, and yearly, where actually you're wanting sales directors and, you know, key people in the business very much on a, you know, 2-3-5 year timeline. So you've got to be quite specific about what you're wanting to do. So using measures at senior levels like EBITDA, rather than trying to explain to what EBITDA is to a, you know, frontline salesperson, they literally need to make lots of calls, lots of conversions, and those conversions will make money. They don't really understand what EBITDA is, and actually don't need to tell them. You just need to show them. If they make the calls, they land the business, then they will get a cut of that action. And we're pretty good at, you know, defining what that might look like, a certain percentage. I often say to businesses, if people can't earn 8% of their base salary as a commission base, it's really not worth doing, because actually they're not going to put that much effort into it. But likewise, if you've got uncapped commission and people know how to game it and they're not acting in the right way, you've got the wrong commission schemes in place.
Yeah. Look, I mean, I feel like we've in a way just touched the surface, and it reward probably is one of the more complicated things that an HR director or a people director is going to have to look at. And as you said earlier, that's why we've got people on the team at People Puzzles who are specialists in reward. It's not a sort of run of the mill skill in a way. And actually with a sort of an in-depth look at how you pay people, you really can make some significant improvements without just spending loads more money, which is probably a joy for many business leaders to hear. So thank you so much, Connell. It's been really great having you on. And, you know, we certainly could have you back at some point and talk a bit more about, I know executives love talking about executive pay, share schemes, long-term incentive plans, how they should set up their own bonuses. But look, that's probably a question for another time. So if you'd like to find out any more about that, please do get in touch with People Puzzles, and you can find Connell directly on LinkedIn or chat to us. We do take a look at the website, peoplepuzzles.co.uk. We've got some case studies and some stories, and we'd love to hear from you. But thank you so much for joining us today, and we look forward to being back next week. Thanks very much. Bye-bye.
Cheers. Bye.